the volume of applications for this board. I have a motion for a special meeting to conduct normal business for 7 p.m. August 2.
So moved.
What is the name? Do you have a second?
Second.
What is the name? The second is to hold a special meeting of the planning board for August 2, 2021 at 7 p.m. Motion to be made and seconded. Any further discussion?
No.
If not, I say, don't take it too controversial. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carried. First item I have on the agenda for this evening is the COVID files, and we have none of those.
Hey, good evening. Excuse me. Joe Danville with the Environmental Design Partnership. Here on behalf of Sirona Builders, their application for 49 lot subdivision, known as the Jacoby Farm, located on Monroe Ref Road off of Gansmore Road. I'm here tonight with the applicants themselves, Johnny, Stephen, Anthony, Sirona, as well as with TJ. From Whiteman, Osterman, and Hanna, project attorney. We're here tonight for a public hearing. We're looking to bring Seeker 2 to conclusion tonight and ultimately obtain a... work to obtain a preliminary and conditional final approval of the project, at which time we'll work through some outside agency review and discussion. Both DC, DOH, as well as the town will be involved in the final approval with the sewer, the water, stormwater systems throughout the project. To orient the board, north is up on this map. Parcel itself is a 27.2-acre parcel highlighted in yellow. Again, we're looking at Monroe Ref Road. Coming in here, the Harry B. Tar Park in this location. This is Gansmore Road and Blue Board Curve Road here. Again, to orient the board to where we are on the site. We're within the R2 zoning district, which permits single family residential as a permitted use within the zone. The project is made up of two parcels, both on the north and south side of the road. Anybody that's driven to the park, I'm sure the majority of the town is familiar with it. The land is vacated pasture land, a couple of barn structures located on the property that will ultimately be removed, compost pile that there was some initial discussion with. We have agreed that prior to that compost pile being removed, the owner or the builder will contact the fire department to let them know that that is being taken off the site in the event that there are potentially fire hazards associated with that. As I said, the project itself is a 49-lot subdivision proposed as a conservation or a cluster subdivision in which we've taken great efforts to create an aesthetic view coming down Gansmore Road. If you recall, one of our initial submissions, we came in with 49 driveways connecting to Monroe Ref Road. That was not received very well by the town. I think that was at some of our initial pre-application meetings with the town. We then proposed this loop road system in which we created a series of green space in front of every one of the lots, took all of the private driveways off of Monroe Ref Road, and created the layout that we see here today with individual pods and clusters, all of which have HOA-owned open space or maintained open space within a center green area. Essentially, all these homes look out onto a center green area. The residents of that community and their children can go and use those areas for play, recreation. They'll be, again, mowed and maintained by the Homeowners Association. We're providing a future access road to lands on the south that may come up for future development at some time in the future. But again, that was another item that the town asked us to accommodate. We are proposing a bike path connecting from this driveway all the way down to the park that will be utilized by the residents of this community to provide access to the park so no one's walking on the road. We are proposing a series of street trees along both sides of the road and for the street lights to light up the area. At the entrance to the park located here and here, we are proposing to dedicate land to the town and contribute to the construction of signs for the entrance of the park. For consideration of dedicating the land, we are looking to reduce or alleviate the park and rec fees associated with this project through that dedication plan. I think that's something we had talked about at our previous meetings.
That's not good.
Again, this is the current version of the project. One of the elements that was recently included as a request of this board in the town, we provided a HOA piece of land here that separates the cul-de-sac of Road C and Road B and can ultimately be used at a future date if the HOA is to look for a trail connection or open space connection to an adjacent subdivision that is approved on the north side of the property. The project itself will connect to the municipal water supply. Individual septic systems will be placed on every lot, and stormwater will be managed in an infiltration basin located in the southeast corner of the property. Again, that's the low point of the property. We had a different version of this as we started the project. It's a series of ponds and dry wells. However, as we worked through the project and received letters from the town's designated engineer, Burge, looking at the stormwater, ultimately it was decided that the best way to manage the system compliant with New York State DEC was to provide a single stormwater basin on the rear of the property. I have copies of the utility and grading plans if there's any specific questions related to that. But again, what we're here for tonight is to continue through the SECR process. We're asking the board to declare themselves an agency, issue an ed deck, hold a public hearing, and if appropriate at this time, we're looking for the board to advance the project to grant preliminary and final approval conditioned upon any outside agency approvals. Again, we're here tonight. We'll answer any questions that the board may have. Thank you.
The first one that I would like to point out is that this board does not have the authority to waive anybody's fee. So that's something that's taken up to the town board. It's beyond the authority of this board. We cannot do that. We won't do anything wrong. Because every time we do it, it's never wrong. So that's my speech. That's a gentleman from our favorite. Mr. Martin, have we received comments back from our consultants for this project?
I think we have the comments back on the SWIP. I think that much has been done. We did the joint notification for the coordinated review to the other involved agencies. We only, I think, heard back from DEC. The time frame has passed on the others. The traffic was already done under a joint, if you recall, with the neighboring subdivision, which was the wise thing to do. So all three subdivisions were considered in the traffic analysis, and that the results of that were that there was no adverse impact. And then the last remaining thing that was done was we did have a meeting with the school superintendent over the potential impact of the school district relating to this subdivision as well as the other two that are proposed just to the north. And the superintendent was very positive on all three projects. She is of the feeling that the enrollment can easily be absorbed and the public education service can be provided at no detriment to the district whatsoever. She was actually enthralled to see the growth. So I think we have letters to that effect, you know, after that meeting in the file, but that's just a summation of that meeting we had as well. So that's where we stand on some of the outstanding issues. It's been a couple months, as Joe indicated, but that's where we are. That's correct, and that was in emails that went back and forth. You know, there is a concern over the condition of the road. You know, the Rec Road or Lennox Boulevard is not in great condition today. You know, I get the applicant's point about, you know, why do they have to fix up something that's not in good condition. But nonetheless, that's the condition we have, and the construction traffic is only going to make it worse. So, that's unresolved. We have the concern expressed from the highway superintendent, though. That is correct.
So there was no third party review of what it would cost or what was necessary to remedy the problem.
We were waiting for that. We wanted to get some sort of indication. That's an open item. We don't have a resolution to the cost, you know, a mutually acceptable cost to fix that.
Mr. Chairman, if you will. Just speaking to that, we're talking with the applicants. We've agreed to return the road to its existing condition after construction. But it is, again, as Mr. Martin had pointed out, the road is in a state of disarray. The highway superintendent himself identified that this road needs to be redone within the next 3 to 4 years at the meeting we had. The applicant's willing to work with the town, but will return it to its current condition after construction.
Yeah, in that score, I got to talk more with Paul, though, but I don't think there's any point in returning a road to a substandard condition. You know, perhaps there can be, you know, some sort of an arrangement, work for an allocation of funds to an escrow account or something like that to help offset the cost of full repair, but... I, from my position, I see little good in bringing a road back to a substandard, you know, condition.
There is a way for us, though, if it's already been evaluated, to know how much damage has been done through construction and ask for the applicant to at least cover the cost of that while still moving forward with something better than leaving it the way it is as far as the town goes, right?
Right, and my point is we're not asking for the full cost of a complete reconstruction, the limited cost of bringing it back to, you know, the condition it is today.
So that's up to them to work that out with Paul.
Well, I think that's something we have to resolve before we come to a conclusion of this review.
Okay. Have we received comments back from Lombardi?
Yeah, and on the SWIP, I believe we have that resolved, right, Joe? The last I knew, you had gotten to a point of a final comment.
Yeah, so we did work through the stormwater. We received an initial letter from LaBerge. We responded to that. We've had some conversations with them as far as the storm is concerned. He has a couple of very minor technical comments that may be outstanding. But the comments and the conversations they're very technical. They're not going to change the character and make of the community as it is shown here on the plans tonight. We would ask for any approvals that the grant would be conditioned upon addressing any outstanding comments by that office as well.
We're not still in this plan. We're not still planning engineering-wise to treat the runoff on the back side of the lot and recessed swales in the back lots, right? You know, you know, that is a natural thing here in stormwater plan. It's not problems in the backyard.
Yes, the storm system has been revamped. It's more comprehensive. It's now taking all the drainage, which before we were trying to put it directly back in the ground without taking it, collecting it, and putting it down into a storm, right? Not the individual cells.
Right. That's not taking away from your plan. I mean, great plan. It just looks like it would be really easy for homeowners to fill in that low spot in the backyard, and there goes your engineering. So that's the limit. It's not
correct.
Jim, I've asked this numerous times, and I thought we settled this. This is old. This is how long since you've been in front of us? Shouldn't say front of us. We can do a virtual meeting. But how long since?
We were scheduled for a public hearing in May. That got delayed a couple months.
Okay.
We were last in front of the board in March.
I think it was April.
I just had to refresh myself on stuff here. I've been since the very first time I saw this plan. When a plan was brought in a year or two ago, I missed that one meeting. It wasn't your plan or something else. But the first time I saw this one, we were working with a project just to the north of it. Okay? Concerns about kids in both developments gaining access, or especially in that development, gaining access to the park. I asked Jim to ask the town board if they would be interested in an entry point to the park in that one corner. Had that ever been discussed with the town board?
No, not to this point, no.
I'm still beating a dead horse here.
No,
that's... It's something that the town would even approve. But I asked for, in the one lot up in the upper northeast corner, that a section of that little corner be set aside specifically. We'd already gotten an okay from the development next door. They actually have an access that goes right to there in their HOA lands, so that the kids in the other development can kind of cut across into the park. Right. You realize you don't have to do this, okay? But it makes logical sense and it's a safety thing for the kids. And the last meeting we were in front of us, all of a sudden this little laneway showed up. And we said, okay, I look at the other development, and they can go along a different route and get to there and go across. Except in tonight's introduction, you said there's a laneway here if the people in the development decide to allow it. So once again, it's not there. Unless the people in the HOA say, you know what, I think it would be great if a whole bunch of kids from the other development came through our backyards. Okay? I just don't see it happening. I get it. My practical thing is, you're going to have 50 or 60 or whatever houses next door that are going to possibly have kids in them, and I'm trying to find a way to get them to the park without them having to go out on Route 32 or County Boulevard. Okay? It seems to me, looking at it, a really tiny thing, but I own 152-acre farm, so that little corner to me looks like I can mow with a sprinkler. But for some reason, it seems to be a bone of contention. There doesn't seem to be an interest in dedicating that to that purpose. So is that just like off the table? Is that the idea?
So my understanding and what we committed to at the previous meeting is identical to what the previous approvals granted. That would be HOA lands, and if deemed appropriate, a trail would be put through there at a later date.
Okay, that's not the previous meeting. What I got was to alleviate the issue there was going to be and access through there for. And we even talked about the kids with bicycles coming there, now they have to cross Lenox Boulevard to get to the bike path, but you know what, maybe you could put a cross patch there, and you said, you know, maybe you could. Now what you're saying tonight is, if the people that own these houses decide to do it, well, I can tell you right now, if I'm one of the people that are there, I don't want kids riding bicycles through my, you know, behind my property, so boom, it's not going to get done. So then it's just a non-starter. If that's the position, and if it is, then the way I see it is it's not there.
The opportunity for that trail is there, and that is what the town requested of us, to provide the opportunity to put that trail there. Having the open space associated with the subdivision to the north, they have specific language within there that allows for that trail. I believe it's also subject to HOA approval within that community. We're matching the language that was approved for the adjacent community, which we believe would be fair of this board to give the same approval.
So the answer is no.
There is not a dedicated path. There's the opportunity for a dedicated path in the future.
So one of your interests tonight was in closing, or we'll have a public hearing. And I guess, Jim, I may need your help on this one, too. Did we have a public hearing open in March?
For this?
For this?
Yes. No. This is the first we've had a public hearing.
So we can't have a public hearing without notification?
Correct.
Okay. All right. I misunderstood. The way it sounded was like, you know, we want to have a public hearing, like it was for tonight. It's like, how do we do that?
It is for tonight.
It is for tonight.
It was noticed for May. Okay. Applicant requested a tabling. And now we're back on.
That's what I want to know, is if we had the public hearing notice.
See, actually...
May, not March, though.
No, see, I got my notes here. The last time this was before this board actively was May 17th.
Okay.
At which time you set a public hearing for June 21st.
That's what I remember, but we tabled it, or it was tabled.
Right.
As requested. Okay. So then that notice still stands. It's
correct.
It's been an open public hearing since...
Perfect. The public hearing hasn't been opened yet, John.
Right.
It's noticed.
It's noticed. It hasn't been
opened. For this evening.
It's
first time.
It's going to be open tonight.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I have another question. Again, looking over your site plan, how much of this is actually open space as part of the stormwater management? Because that's one of the purposes of a cluster development, is that this should yield more open space than a state convention.
Correct. The largest area of open space is located here. This is somewhat atypical of a cluster subdivision. Typically, you can see the open space areas preserved in small strips around the rear of the lots. Because the Rural Rec Road is the focus of this community, we had some meetings early on, and it seemed very desirable to put the open space in the front of the community adjacent to Rec Road. This area here is about 2.5 acres of land, and we have about half an acre of land here that is open space.
The plan is for these homes to be on public water, right?
Correct.
Is this whole thing, is it all in the water district, or?
Because
I know you're right, like on like the edge.
Correct. It was determined by the town that it was not in the water district. However, tax records indicate that it is within a district. We've been working with the town. We are ultimately going to apply to the town to have a district extension to connect to water or work as an outside user to connect to the water.
And that water, what water do you connect to? Stuff that's at the park or out to 32? Or
we would be going out to 32, bringing it to here, and then from this point, we're going to be extending it to here and 80 feet into the park as an additional cost for the developer.
How far is it?
80 feet beyond the property line. That's what was requested by Jesse from the water department. Again, not an insignificant cost. I believe I have the number on that. It was $10,000 additional money to extend it to the park.
With the fire hydrant at the end of it.
This is a potential, this is an extension of the existing water district.
One of the parcels is in an existing water district. The other parcel Joe was discussing is going to be an extension to the existing water district, which ultimately then, come next January, will be into the full consolidated water district, to confuse things thoroughly. That is correct, Mr. Chairman. That is not the purview of this board. That goes directly to the town board.
But that hasn't occurred yet.
No, I don't believe a MAP plan report has been presented or created yet, and there's no petition to the town board as of yet.
So we're going to need town board approval to make sure that they're getting the water after the MAP plan report, secure, and all that kind of stuff.
They will need town board approval, yes.
Okay.
We are going to need multiple other approvals beyond this board, and that's why we are looking for the condition approval. Town, as I said, the town board, town water department, ultimately need to weigh in on this after the fact. If this board is to grant a conditional approval and we're unable to obtain water, per se, that would have to come back to this board as a revised plan at a different time and a different application.
Is that because you have lots in the proposed water extension that are not sized appropriately for not having public water? Is that the idea?
That would be correct. If we went to a public water system, we would change the makeup of this community. Some of the lots would be on public water because they're within a district on the north side. Some of the lots would be on well on the south side. My understanding is going through the process, we do the map plan report, it's going to show that sufficient capacity does exist. It would be a process for the town board to just go through the motions and do a bit of district extension or, again, an out-of-district user.
I don't know if I'm just trying to get a grasp. I don't know if I've been on this board for a while and I've ever been involved in a project where part of it's in the water district and part of it's not. I've had some that were R1 in part and R2 in the other part, and you know, that you see, but this is the first time I've seen one where part of the project is in the water district and part isn't. So it's just because of the location on the fringe. It's not anything indicative of this project. It just happens to be, so it's a little bit hard to get my head around that.
It's taken quite a while. We thought the whole property was, and then came back to Pleasant, and then we found some of it with Pleasant.
So what part is excluded from the district right now?
I believe the north section is within the water district. The southern property is not in the water district.
Okay.
Look to Carla to see if she wants.
Whichever lot is 64-1-54, that's the one not in the district. Is that your southern one?
That's the southern
one. Because the northern one probably goes into the one that's connected to Arrowhead.
I'm
pretty sure they didn't have a big farm in the water district. I know there was at previous meetings there was some confusion as to whether neither of them were in the district or one of them was in the district. So subsequent to that, has it been determined that that's definitely the northern parcel is within the water district?
Pete, we're going to need his name for the record.
T.J. Rubey from White and Osterman and Hanna.
Okay.
Attorney for the project.
Yes. The one I just identified, the 64, tax map 64-154, is not in the district. That's about 14 and a half acres.
That is the southern part.
So that's the southern part. Okay.
What is your contemplated time phasing for build out both sides of the road?
Turn that to the builder. My understanding is we want to start construction of roads on the north side of the project immediately, as soon as we possibly can. And market driven, sales are good and strong, we immediately jump into the south side of the road.
So what are you thinking? What is the projection?
As soon as we're approved, we're going to go.
Yeah.
But a completion? On north and south of all
roads. Right, going to phase them, like when you
10-15 houses.
So your north side before you do the south side.
Yeah. So the north side, a year and a half before we start roads on the south side, 3 to 5 years total build up.
Okay.
Get that.
So we're looking 10-15 houses a year.
Market driven, right?
It would be great.
Yeah.
Good morning, but if not, we have a question for the board. Or do you have any questions, comments, or concerns concerning part one of the full environmental assessment form for Jacoby Acres, Jacoby Farm Subdivision?
Consolidated? Yes, there was. I just gave my copy to Ann.
Okay.
Want me to make copies for everybody?
Do we have the copy machine anymore? Is the copy machine back?
I have a lot of files.
I'll be right back.
Any further questions in the first one? We'll go quickly to part two.
Well, I think Jim is going to make copies of part one for everybody.
I'll have a moment. I have one more question. Just to refresh myself again. I think these are all, a lot of the ones I'm asking have already been answered. I'm just, lots happened since then. So, I asked a question at the last meeting about the lot distances on the side lots. Okay? And the side lot setbacks. And it seemed some of the lots were really narrow, like we were looking at very negligible access to the backyard. Okay, are there any lots under 10 feet between the proposed building footprint and the side lots?
What we have discussed and agreed to at the previous meeting, we had originally proposed 7.5-foot side yards on both sides. We agreed to increase the side yard setback from 7.5 and 10, having a total of 17 feet for the combined side yards.
I thought we had, but just, I'm trying to remember. I have some notes, but not that.
That's what happens in building is a virtual thing.
Well, and I mean, my concern being that it'd be nice if people could get a, you know, a vehicle in their backyard. Well, having spent a little time living in Albany where you couldn't even get a wheelbarrow between the buildings, so it's kind of nice to know that you can get something back there.
Yeah, many of these lots have 50 to 65 feet of building envelope.
Yeah.
Not every house that's built is going to go side yard to side yard.
Right.
We're going to have more room beyond
that. Yeah, and some of the lots obviously had plenty. There were a few that looked really close, especially there along the south edge there. There's five of them there that looked like it would be really hard to justify. So as long as we've got one side that's enough room to get a vehicle in, it's fine, or some kind of accessing.
Certainly.
We also discussed a fence along that 2.5-acre thing along the road. A possible, some, not necessarily a fence, like a physical fence, but some type of a barrier so if kids were playing in that area, they're not running right out onto the street or balls heading out onto the street or whatever. Is that something that's still in the plan or is that?
Yeah, that is something we're willing to provide. It's not going to be a fence per se.
Yeah.
What we talked about is providing some boulders, some landscaping, maybe some additional trees in there to help create that physical separation.
Maybe a berm or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. And I know I wasn't, when I asked that last meeting, I wasn't asking as long as far as the roads that you're building. Okay.
You're
just along, yeah.
Talking here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly along that 2.5-acre parcel that will happen. The rest of them are
relatively
small. It's going to be harder to throw baseball.
Okay, 2.5 acres, you can picture that these kids might actually go out and play a game of soccer or something out there, baseball, and it'd be nice to know that they know there's a barrier there. It doesn't mean they're going to stop that, but at least. Poison ivy hedge, the only door one. Oh no, there's a homeowner on Peter Canal did that along the back of it. He's so tired of people hanging out partying in the back lawn, put in a 5-foot strip of poison ivy in the back. Kids only partying once in his backyard, never saw him again. Because he warned me, be careful when you go down there, don't go through that and tell me what he did. That's worse than putting barberries there or something. There's no warning, there you go. The next day, everybody's itching over.
And
second,
I have another question. I did not see the response to the purchase letter, but I'm saying you have a response from back and forth. In the original letter from the village, they did have a number of comments that were pretty substantial. So I guess, adding an extra from the village directly.
Extra. Yes.
One of the things they looked for was the detail map that the village is coming up with, and the petition was prepared and written for the highway superintendent on page 3.
So that comment was mainly, I think, related to when we had the series of individual ponds on every lot when we're talking about the maintenance. What we did is, again, we eliminated all that. We now just have some swales coming down from here in this stormwater management area here that's going to be appropriately designated and signed to alleviate that.
Okay, and they also recommended on page 4 engineering reports prepared and stamped by a licensed professional submitted to Martinville Realty Subdivision Review prior to planning and approval. And the water supply report and sewer
resources. Which item was this?
This is page 4. It's starts with a bullet point on top of that page.
Seeing that here immediately in the response letter, but certainly those reports ultimately will be provided. A report for the water district extension or outside user is still in the works, determining which way the town wants us to go with that. But certainly those reports, those engineers' reports for the water system will be provided. We've also done a series of test pits on the site, infiltration rates, and percolation rates to ensure that we have adequate soils to support the septic systems.
Again,
first, I recommended
that we get this report prior to planning board
approval. Again, I think I refer back to the town's attorney that those reports are not necessarily in the purview of this board to approve. That is for the town board's review and recommendations.
I got something from a Burgess that we should have these reports before planning board approval.
I'm sorry, I was actually reading that EAF and not paying attention to you.
Okay.
No, at least I'm honest.
Well, that's fine. The letter that LaVerge first wrote.
The May 17th, is that the letter?
May 7th.
7th, okay.
They recommended engineering reports to take water supply and sewer disposal prior to town board approval.
Prior to? And did they identify the purposes of that? Because I know one of the purposes for those reports, my understanding, not being an engineer, is to make sure that the water department is on board with everything, and maybe you can speak to this, is on board with everything that's going to go on within the water supply and has all of those certain approvals. I don't know as if... that might be something that has to be provided to the town board, and then the town board advises the planning board that it has it. These are some of the things that I believe the applicant is asking preliminary approval conditioned on those. And what LaVerge, as the board engineer, is requesting that you don't use them as conditions, you just get those and then you can give your approval. That's how I'm reading it.
The way I read it is that they're not recommending additional approval. They're recommending that we get these reports before.
Prior to approval, correct. That's their recommendation.
And we have nothing otherwise from the Burge to indicate otherwise.
No, because the water hasn't even been started, for example. The water district extension, to my knowledge, the map plan and report's not been done.
It's my understanding that it's a recommendation from the Burge. The Burge's purview in the review of this application was strictly for stormwater management, not other aspects of the project. I certainly understand it's a recommendation.
Yeah.
What's been the holdup on getting the public water rectified?
We've just been working with the town to understand what direction they want to go. I think we got verification last week. Moving forward with the district extension. Prior to that, we thought we were doing an outside user agreement. We're still trying to go back and forth with them to understand what the appropriate route is going to be. Also, playing into that is going to be how much funds are available to do maybe some additional work within the park. If we're required to go to a full map plan and report, there's a certain cost associated with that. Then we'd have to take some of the money that was looking and talking with the water department to extend the line into the park, away from that, and then go back and forth with them. So again, going outside user or water district extension is something we're working on with the town.
I need to comment on that, Joe, and you were on the phone during the meeting we all had, but not we all had, there was no open meetings issue. But the town board, it would not be a district user, an out-of-district user agreement. It would be a full map plan report, and Attorney Baker was there and did indicate that she heard that's what the town was saying to them. That's how it was left on the 7th of July, that it would be a map plan report with the district extension.
Correct. So, like I say, about a week or a little more than a week ago, that we got that the direction they wanted to go. We're again still having ongoing conversations with the town regarding that.
Thanks.
I'm going to say here, you're thinking of going someplace, but you don't really know if you're going to go there for water, but you might.
We are going to the town to get water for this project.
Okay.
The methodology and how we get that from the town is a little in limbo. We've heard direction one way last week or a week or so more ago. We were told to go another way. We're still having some ongoing conversation with the town to finalize what exact path we're going to go through in order to obtain water for the project.
So what changes does that make to your project?
It's really a matter of going through certain engineering reports in order to get an outside, district extension, which requires different levels of review by the town as well as the Department of Health,
right,
versus an out-of-district user, which, unless it circumvents it, makes the process much simpler and less costly to the applicant. Ultimately, you're getting water from the same place. It's just a matter of what agreement and legal documents are drafted to allow that water to move forward. But again, my understanding, and Carl has weighed in, town right now wants us to go through with the district extension, which will require the preparation of map plan report and engineering reports.
Okay.
What was the, you responded yes to one of the questions?
Project will result in construction on the
site. Oh, you're going through each of those individually. Okay. All right. Make sure we weren't podcasting the guys.
Project action may involve construction of land above the water table of less than 3 feet, small or moderate to large.
Small.
Closed action may involve construction of slope to 15% or greater. I don't think so. Closed action may involve construction of land with bedrock is exposed or generally within 5 feet of existing ground surface.
No.
The closed action may involve the excavation and removal of more than 1,000 tons of natural material. No. Will it actually mean about construction that continues for more than 1 year or in multiple phases?
Yes.
So it'll be a small or a large, moderate, large.
Small.
And how will it actually result in increased erosion, whether physical disturbance or vegetation removal? No, it's small. Those action is or may be located within the coastal erosion hazard area.
No.
Two, the impact on geological features. The proposed action will result in a modification or destruction of or inhibit access to any unique or unusual landforms on the site.
No.
In fact, on surface water, whose action may affect one or more wetland or other surface water bodies, such as streams or the pond lake. In fact, groundwater, whose action may result in new or additional use of groundwater, or may have the potential to introduce contaminants to groundwater or an aquifer. In fact, on flooding, the possession may result in the development of lands subject to flooding. In fact, in the air, the possession may include a state regulated or emission source. In fact, in the animals, the possession may result in loss of flora or fauna. In fact, in agricultural resources, those actually may impact agricultural resources. In fact, on aesthetic resources, land use for proposed actions are obviously different from or in sharp contrast to current land use patterns between the proposed project and a scenic or aesthetic resource. In fact, in historic or archaeological resources, proposed actions may occur in or adjacent to a historic or archaeological resource.
Yes, we provide a letter of no impact.
Once again, your question.
Impact of open space. Proposed action will result in loss of recreational opportunities or reduction of open space resources as designated in any adopted municipal open space plan.
No.
In fact, the CEA, the proposed action may be located with energies to a critical environmental area. In fact, transportation, the proposed action may result in a change to existing transportation systems. In fact, the proposed action may cause an increase in use of any form of energy. Is that an all or yes?
Small.
Okay, that's a yes.
Yes, it's small.
Does that actually require a new or upgrade to an existing substation?
No.
Does that actually require the creation or extension of an energy transmission or supply system to serve more than 50 single or two family residents or to serve a commercial or industrial use?
No.
Those actions may utilize more than 2,500 watts per year of electricity. I don't think so. Those actions may involve heating and cooling of more than 100,000 square feet of building area when complete.
No. Well, I don't know.
figure it out.
In fact, the owner's older light is supposed to actually result in an increase in those orders for outdoor lighting. Well, it's actually made produce sounds above the noise level established by the local regulation.
No.
Well, it's actually result in blasting within 1,500 feet of any residence, hospital, school, licensed care center, or nursing home.
No.
Well, it's actually result in routine odor for more than an hour per day. The proposed action will result in light shining onto adjacent properties. Proposed action may result in lighting creating sky and cool brighter than the existing area condition. In fact, in human health, the proposed action may have an impact on human health from exposure to new or existing sources of contaminants. Assistance with community planning. The proposed action is not consistent with adopted land use practices. Consistent with community character. The proposed project is inconsistent with existing community character.
No.
Yes or no?
Inconsistent?
It's not a law of negative. Okay, Bart. We have completed part one and part two of the environmental assessment form for this project.
Mr. Chair.
Before we define the subject area. Yes,
Jerry's.
My question is there, in part two, one of the questions asked if it would create more than 100,000 feet, square feet of living space?
Of heated space, I think, right? And it has.
But I think we didn't follow along.
Well, it's just, but we answered no.
Okay.
And my question is, I don't think we know that.
You answered no or small impact.
It is still no or small, right? Okay.
If that's what
you want. Small.
I just wanted to make sure that we didn't, because I was, yeah. Yeah, we
just
don't
know. Yes, it was small.
Well, it was yes of above. That was the fourth question.
I had a question in number one. Moving along, I was going through the stats if I could. Under the category of D2 project operations, Section C. Will the proposed action use or create new demand for water? Answer yes. Total anticipated water usage was given as 16 to 20,000 gallons per day. And then it says, will the proposed action obtain water from an existing water supply? The answer given on the CAF is yes, but the answer given earlier today kind of was we don't know. Yeah. You want it to. So I guess my question is on the EAF, is it okay to put yes because that's the plan?
Well, it's interesting because it's an existing public water supply is what it's saying.
Right.
It doesn't say is it in a district. It says, will the proposed action obtain water from an existing public water supply? It will.
If it's approved.
If that portion is approved.
Yeah.
It's not saying it's in the district right now.
Okay. I mean, it's defined further down. It's defined out. So I just want to make sure that's the correct way to word it. So.
Nope. I got one more in there. It said the extension of the lines within the proposed district. It should say proposed and district. for the district and district, because part of it's in the district and part of it's not.
Sure.
So if they could just add district to that, where it says extension line of the line within the proposed district. So the proposed district and part's in the district and part's not in the district.
It's a yes and no.
So yeah, but yes. What I'm saying is proposed district and existing.
You should say extension of the line within the district and proposed district. Because
the like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, we would agree to that and be added to the record.
Okay. Thank you.
This is a very unique situation.
Yes. I agree.
Another question. We need to move to part three. And what is your desire to file those? Will the project result in no significant adverse impacts to the environment? Or is it going to create havoc to the environment? Or is it a condition? Or the
other? Well, I would be okay with making that motion to declare a negative declaration. Yeah, for Jacoby Farms. The only thing I would ask is on the agenda that says Jacoby Farms, Moreau, Rec Road, I don't know if this is, it's Lennox Boulevard. And everybody may call it Moreau, Rec Road, but it is Lennox Boulevard.
I called it Lennox Boulevard for a long time and everyone kept correcting me.
It's actually named, I believe it's named after one of my neighbors. So it is Lennox Boulevard. So
sure.
I would make the name that Jacoby Farms on Lennox Boulevard.
I'll make a second.
Nice to see you.
Remind me to
tell you something.
Sounds ominous.
Yeah.
Good job, Mr. Walker. We have a motion on the floor to declare a negative declaration for the environmental assessment review for the Jacoby Farm subdivision. The motion for have a second.
Yeah, that was me.
From here. Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, we call a roll, please.
I guess I'm going to do that now. Okay. Ms. Perdue. Mike?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jerry?
Yes.
Meredith?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
I open your eye. So I have 7 affirmative. Motion carries.
Joe, do you know if the sign was placed on the property?
Yes, it was.
Thank you.
Twice.
Thank you.
I saw it the other day.
I saw it. Okay. Therefore, we shall conduct a public hearing and during our hearing, we have 3 relatively simple ground rules. First one is that everyone is encouraged and invited to make a statement concerning this project or ask questions concerning this project. I used to tell everyone that they like to have a state their name for the record, but I don't know if I can do that anymore.
No, it's more important than ever.
Now it's more important than ever.
You can ask them to state their name for the record, not their address.
And our third and probably our most important problem in this whole process is that through the whole process, we will maintain some sense of the court. With that, is there anyone who wishes to make a comment or ask a question concerning the Jacoby Park subdivision? Oh, come on, give them off this easy.
That's fast.
It's not soon anymore.
Is somebody standing out there and keep the phone up?
What's that?
They're all on Zoom traffic.
That's not what the notice said, though. The notice said in person.
Because we're not.
Yes,
yeah,
because we're not.
Yeah.
It's done.
It's done.
I was told there was an authorization to do that.
You can do both.
I didn't know. I thought it was.
It's in process.
No, Lord. What do you want to do from here?
The water thing.
Yeah.
I guess I'm struggling a little bit. We don't normally we have like an okay from the water department that this is good. Okay. And I'm still like getting the feeling that we don't. Because the process is so. Walk me through what that looks like as far as what you have ahead of you to get that approval.
So ultimately, we're going to need a district extension, which requires the preparation of a report that identifies how much water the project's using, anticipated flows. We provide that to the town. The town reviews it. Town engineer reviews it. They determine, yes, we have enough water and we can get you into the district, or they tell you, no, we need some mitigation in order to provide adequate water for the site. from there would be review by Department of Health and DEC in order to actually extend the district and bring these properties into a water district. It's actually somewhat of a fairly lengthy process with the way the timing that these agencies ultimately work with. What I'm asking, what we'd be looking for tonight, it would be an approval of this project with the condition that it connects to public water. If it ultimately does not connect to public water, the conditions of that approval would not be met, and we would ultimately come back with a different project altogether, or come back with no project or not come back with any new project at all.
So it's slightly more complicated than getting a thumbs up from Jesse, but a little easier than getting a right of way from National Grid.
Sounds about right.
I don't think it's a thumbs up from Jesse.
No, what I'm saying is more complicated than just getting a Jesse saying.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. But a little easier than getting the right of way okay from National Grid. So,
easement.
Excuse me. Yeah, easement.
Can I add to that? Turn on a special environmental plan partnership. I just wanted to add to what Phil mentioned. So, if you think back to previous apartment complexes, which is what I can think of as the most recent, from Sherman, the most recent times we've extended the district, we've gone through this exact process where you give a conditional approval on the district extension, then you go into the town board for that extension, and then come back to you with all those documents together on your final approval. But it's not without precedent that you follow that path that has been historically what's been done for district extension.
Anyone else? be a little bit wacky. And I think that is what we received everything that we need from Roberta, and all the comments have been satisfied as far as you know.
I cannot find that letter, and that's going to be my first call tomorrow is to Don to find out where they're at in the SWIP review. I do. The last letter I have in the file that I see is May 7th.
That's the last one.
And that's a lengthy one. I do not have a concluding letter saying that these prior comments have been addressed. I cannot find it. I don't think we have it. I do not recall seeing it.
Did we get any comments back from county lines?
No.
So no comments back that we are sure of?
Right. So to answer your question, Peter, technically speaking, the comments from May 7th are still open.
Okay.
I do not have concluding remarks.
We have not heard back from county yet?
But we didn't get any comments. I think we're beyond the time frame from them. And the other item we have open, as Ann alluded to, is the road repair issue. I think we need to get a offer from the applicant of what they think is a fair amount to contribute to the repair, and then we need to check that with our engineer or with Paul or both to see if we think that's an adequate amount. I'm not saying the full repair. I'm saying an amount for repair.
Is that us, or is that something that's town board?
Well, it may ultimately require the full town to approve that. I'm just saying it usually starts with the applicant. They suggest an amount, and then we go through a verification process. And then from there, if you want to make sure, I think we'd need town board to authorize. They're the only ones. They ultimately have to accept the road repair.
Well,
that's it's their property.
That's under budget, so that's not.
Yeah, so we need probably to get town board okay on that as well, but we need to all come to an understanding of what is the amount going to be, and we mutually agree.
Again, I mean, I feel like certainly that could be a condition of the.
I'm not talking about conditions, Joe. You're fair to ask that. I'm just saying that's where the road process stands.
Right. The offer we have on the table from the applicant is they're going to return the road to its existing condition. After construction. We're not working with the road that is in.
My comment to that is why would we return something substandard that being substandard?
Correct.
There's got to be some dialogue between the town, maybe the highway, the applicant, and come up with something that's fair and reasonable to all involved. But to say you're going to return it to an existing condition, I don't buy that.
So I will bring this up.
The
applicants have come up with a design at the request of the town that does not have driveways connected directly to the Lenox Boulevard, the existing town road. They are putting forth substantial funds to construct 3,000 plus linear feet of road to make sure that no driveways connect to that town road. So we're trying to avoid creating further damage to that road. We're proposing 49 lots. The amount of traffic that those 49 lots generate is insignificant to the amount of traffic that the town generates by people going back and forth to the park. Ultimately, our 49 lots is a drop in the bucket in the overall scheme of the traffic. The applicant, as I said, went through a great deal of design revisions and are going to expend a significant amount of money to give the town the aesthetics they look. Not only to mention the aesthetics they're looking for, providing additional watering, providing a bike trail, providing potential connections in the future, and to throw in and say to rebuild a road and make it better than it currently is something that I think is above and beyond the purview.
What I'm saying is I object to the comment, and maybe not what you intended, but this is the way I understood it. If you were going to return the road to the conditions that it is now, substandard. So why would we even consider returning something substandard? Obviously, to bring it up to where it needs to be, there has to be some town funds which is above us, but I would think that would be the way to go, rather than park land, we'll get it back the way it is now. I don't like the money jump. That's all I'm saying. So you may have every intention of working with the town. It's just why I want to get that statement out that you're going to bring it back to the condition it is now. Because that's substandard and not acceptable.
So how about if we have something that just says that the applicant is responsible for any the value of any decrease in the quality of the road, instead of just bringing it back to substandard, and there's that responsibility, and then they can make a deal with the town as far as. Because I don't think that, I mean, basically, you also don't want to bring the road up to substandard. You,
yeah, of course.
I mean, it benefits your development to have a reasonably decent road then. So if we can find a way to word it, so that I think that's my wordsmith at the end there. If we could find a way to word it.
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I do have something else.
Okay.
That's resolved.
Okay.
I was taking notes during some stuff. I just want to make sure I've got a complete list, because there were several things during the presentation, Joe, that you talked about some conditions that we were hoping to see. So this is what I wrote down. I just want to make sure I've got the complete list, not too much on the list. That one of the conditions would be a resolution of any SWIP comments from Laverne. I had characterized it just as a road repairs agreement. There was some sort of agreement about how the road was going to be repaired. The approval of state agencies, I believe is the way you worded it, and I think that's DOH and DEC.
Yes, we would put outside agencies, any agency above and beyond.
Okay. Then we have the town board approval for the water district extension. And at one point there was some discussion about whether or not the town water department weighed in on that, but I don't know if that's something to be waiting on. And then you have the condition of your development of engineering reports for the water and sewage disposal.
I think that plays into the condition of the approval from the town for water district extension, as well as the DC and DOH approvals. I believe that's all within the
state. Yeah, you're not going to get those without producing.
Correct.
Okay. So the big ones then are the resolution of the SWIP, the road repairs, the approval of agencies, state agencies, and town board approval for water district extension. So those would be the types of conditions that we're looking at going along with any approval.
Yeah, that's four by my count. That's four conditions so far.
Okay, Bert, and I have to be the meaning. Are you prepared to make some sort of recommendation, even though you do not have comments back or justified or satisfied comments from our consultants?
Peter, I think there are a number of concerns. The Burge comments, getting those rounded out, I think is very important. And last thing I got is this May 7th letter, and it's very critical. And it's giving advice that I would like to have some feedback on. It's saying there are certain things we should have in our hands before we go forward with approval. Road repair and water department comments as well are things I think that we should have some input and rather than just saying kick it over the side, kick it down the road, and let them figure it out. I think they're important enough to this project that that kind of information should be important.
I would definitely agree on the engineering thing. Usually if we have the final engineering approval thing is a contingency on the end town approval, it's because of this clerical stuff. I think in one development we had a manhole cover that was 100 feet above elevation. Duh. These are easy things. Notations on stuff that need to be corrected, but some of the questions were actually pretty serious, and I agree. I haven't seen... It's disjointed here, I get it, but I haven't seen anything from them saying that we cleared those things off. So I don't have the list in front of me right now, but I even if I did, I'm not an engineer, so I feel much more comfortable if the engineers gave us an okay on that before that one day.
So from here, from more, they're concerned certainly with the outstanding engineering comments, and there's a few other agencies that will need to sign off on this. If the board would be willing to grant a preliminary approval only, with the conditions that those are satisfied, and before we come back for final approval, those conditions are satisfied, that's something that we would be looking for, is that it gives us the ability to provide documentation to the Department of Health and DEC that this board has approved the project per se, and it is serious about the town moving forward with it. That's always something that the DEC comes back to us, and they don't even necessarily start reviewing plans nowadays until they have a preliminary approval.
I guess my biggest concern about going forward on that path is that if any of these comments come back, I don't know what the impact to your proposed subdivision might be. And will it still look the same based on the resolution of the SWIP comments? I don't expect you to be able to tell me whether it will or not. That's one of my concerns.
Yeah.
So that, if we grant preliminary approval, what did we give you preliminary approval for, other than the idea of a subdivision?
It gives us the ability to continue on to the next steps. We have a level of comfort that this board is ultimately going to approve the project once we satisfy some of the items that we have to deal with the town approvals. If, per se, something substantially does need to change as a result of that engineering letter, which we have provided in response to that, and we have not heard back from Laverne. The plans that were provided do address that. We do not believe there's going to be any material changes other than maybe a shift in some catch basins and dry wells on the property. But to make this board feel comfortable, if there is any substantial changes where we have to move roads, move lots, that approval would be null and void, and we'd have to come back and substantially change the project or re-obtain secret and preliminary approval of the project. Again, I don't see that happening, and I understand your concern not having a final letter from the town's engineer. And again, I'm not asking for final approval. If we can get the preliminary, again, use another level of approval for this board to consider at a later date.
Okay, we've heard the request from the board. What do you want to do? Silence is deafening. Give me some direction.
Thinking inside the head.
Is it your learned opinion that it would be appropriate to grant a conditional preliminary approval, or is it your desire to wait to not grant that until you have all of the information that you need from the consultants? Your choice.
It would be my preference to defer until we got comments back and first to clarify their concerns in this May 7th letter, as well as more input from the town highway department on the road repair issue, how they would want to see it resolved, and from the water department in terms of whether capacity is available.
And to your last point for the water department, it's not the water department you're asking that. That would be, you might want to speak to the applicant and request when they would be submitting the petition to the town board. That's the board that looks at, and that's the department that would look at the capacity. It's not Jesse at this point, because it would go to the town board and they would start the process.
And that's why it's complicated.
Yep, let's take Jesse out of it for right now, and you're really going, because that's as, if it was in the district, that'd be fine. It's not in the district, at least part of it. So that's what that portion.
The AAF presumes that there is capacity if the town approves.
Correct.
Is that true? I mean, do we know that's true, that there is water capacity?
We don't have the end of the report yet.
I follow you.
But if that's when the applicant does go to the town board and they do that review based on the map plan report, if they find that there's not, if there's any issue for some reason denied the conditional approval, then sends the applicant back before the planning board. So it's not as if something can happen, change in any way, or they deny it, still move forward. So that's what the request for conditional approval sort of anticipates, that we'll get that before we can go on. And same with the comments of SWIFT and comments from the Verge as well. That's what the sort of the condition of those helps, lets us move on, lets the applicant move on with getting the approvals from other state agencies, start with the town board and extension of the water district, while all, getting the planning board's assurance that they're going to check the boxes that you want them to check off.
The Verge letter from May 7th is probably the most critical one I've seen. It's got raises a lot of issues, and I think these are the kinds of things we need to have resolved with the Verge. They're critical facts, and I think the Verge prepares for the town, and it seems like there's some fuzziness about how that should be resolved, and I think the Verge would like to be involved in that resolution. So I'd say a water district, as Carl points out, maybe not something in our purview, whether they need to weigh in on the capacity. But I think those other two remain very critical.
Can we get them on the August 2nd agenda? If we get the answer from Uber?
Sure. Oh, August 2nd.
That would give you the perhaps the information from LaVerge.
Yeah, it's just sitting there and they just haven't responded.
But it would not get you anything with the water district.
I don't see any reason why you couldn't table till August 2nd. It's your agenda, and nothing there has to be noticed, per se.
I'm sympathetic to the cause that these state agencies don't move forward without these things, and we're putting them in the bind. It's a dribble wheel at this point. If we don't give them a perimeter, they can't do the things we're asking of them. So, and they're making an agreement, if things change, they will come back and we'll start over, essentially. So that's my thought, is get them back. If LaVerge has seen this and that they just had an issue with comments, then I think it's somewhere we can ask them to get it to us by next week. And if that's the holdup, then we can hear in August.
If we come back with a letter, the LaVerge provides a letter that they concur with the revisions to the plan for August 2nd, after that, then there is some other conditions at that point in time, conditional approval is something this board would be willing to move forward with.
The concern seems to be to be able to present this, move forward with this with agency approvals, but how do you get a DOH approval on this, not knowing if you have water?
That's part of the process.
It is?
Yes.
Okay.
They're not going to, DEC and DOH will not sign these plans unless all of those steps are taken with the town. They'll sign the plans and ultimately it comes back after the DOH. DEC provides a letter, DOH stamps the plans, the town will then have to stamp the plans prior to this ever moving forward. There's still a lot of hurdles well beyond this board's approval that we need to go through.
We as the planning board will not sign the bylaws until it comes back from DOH with their seal on it. Everybody else stamp all over the place. Then they sign it. And they can't do anything until they have that. So the question comes back to board. What do you want to do?
I need some clarification on the road. Hey. I guess we're both in good shape.
The loose, that was here. The The highway superintendent identified that the road is in need of repair within the next 3 to 4 years, is my understanding. If we do nothing on this project in 3 to 4 years, it is going to be completely rebuilt.
By the highway department. Okay. So, right now he's asking you to help do that, or do that, or what's...
There's been a lot of asks from the start of this project by the developer. A lot of asks. The town has asked for multiple things in the project. One of them, at one point, was reconstruction of the entire length of road, plus build all of these new roads. Which certainly, by putting the new roads in and taking the driveways off Lennox Boulevard, it's our opinion that we shouldn't have to rebuild a town road to create new roads off of that town road. Certainly, there's been discussions about providing material, and the town provides the labor for that road. You know, we're certainly going to be crossing that road, digging up sections of it, which we certainly will repair, not to its existing condition, but repair it with the appropriate base and the appropriate thicknesses. Other areas of the road that we don't touch, we're not proposing to do anything to. So a good portion of that road, at least crossing and running alongside of it, is going to be built to current standards, replaced with current town requirements for road base and pavement thicknesses. Again, other areas that aren't touched is, again, that's a town that has a road that is in need of repair.
So is he saying that the road right now that's there that needs to be repaired is enough to snuff for this subdivision? Is that what I'm hearing? That the road's not good enough for this subdivision to come in?
No, that is not what he's saying. He says the road is in need of repairs. It's reached the end of its life.
Okay.
So it needs to be repaired, not only for this subdivision coming in, but ultimately mostly for the town park. Whether or not this subdivision occurs, that road needs to be redone.
So it's not up to the developer to repair that road?
No. I don't think it's a planning board issue.
Well, it is if we're going to make a decision here. I mean, we're looking for clarification on the road, so it is a planning board decision.
Yeah, but who's going to pay to repair this?
Well, that's the question for clarification, and that's what I'm saying, is that if the road's in repair now, and if it's not up to snuff for the subdivision, is it the subdivision's responsibility, or is it the town's responsibility? And I think that needs to be clarified. It kind of sounds to me, town road's not there.
So no one's getting to the park.
Yeah, so we need clarification from Paul Joseph about this, in my opinion.
You'll meet me in 2 weeks to get right on the field. Along with the barrier comments, you can have that conversation.
Yeah. Can we do that, Carl?
I mean, I would ask the board to ask Jim. Jim was present at those meetings when the highway superintendent discussed the condition of the road.
I think what's fair is that my personal opinion, based on those conversations, the applicant makes some excellent points about the expense they are incurring providing new roads off of the main line. The main line will be impacted by this project. Are they responsible for all of it? Again, my opinion, based upon what I've heard, no. I do think we have to come, though, to a settlement amount that is fair to them in consideration of their impact to the road. What I'm used to is the applicant usually suggests amount. It starts with you. If it's a nickel or if it's $5,000, I don't know. But you start with an amount. We'll review it, a little back and forth, and we settle on an amount. That's what I'm used to. So if you want to do that in the next week or two, in deference to Meredith's comment about August 2nd, I think that would be an excellent thing to do.
Okay.
And I think the other thing is, you know, the SWIP comments have been there since May. I don't know what's happened with that dialogue. Usually it happens between the applicant and LaBerge directly, and I just get the left. I will intervene and find out. I think we can get that resolved, too.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, in hearing the deliberation, I also think it's fair They're in a, like Meredith said, they're in a tough spot on the preliminary approval. So a conditional preliminary approval, perhaps on August 2nd, if we can get these other two things resolved, seems reasonable. And take this up again on August 2nd if we get progress on those other two issues.
That sounds fair.
I mean, because I've got the four outstanding issues. I'll go through the value of the decrease on the road. I like that term. The road repair agreement. I think that's ultimately what we're going to arrive at here is a written agreement for probably an escrow account, you know, on an amount for the road, your fair amount. Resolution of the SWIP comments, which are extensive. We've seen those. Approval of other involved state agencies. I think that's where we have to give some movement here to allow that process to continue and get on, off the dime. And then town board approval of the water district. I think as long as we keep the final step with us, the final approval, that's a reasonable step. You know, and they can advance to the other state agencies, which give a chance for the map plan and report to be done for the district extension. And that all comes back to this board prior to your final approval. Because I think there's concern with waiting for the signatures on the plat for final. I think that I would advise against that. I think it's a good step to have it come back to this entire board on an agenda item for a last check before final.
I agree.
But
I'm comfortable with that explanation because that does the one thing that I am most comfortable with is lets me see that this plan addresses the comments that we hired a consulting engineer to offer, which makes me much more comfortable.
I have a motion as to what you want to do, but that's to delay your decision until such time as you have the requested information. That's fine. Or if you wish to do something else, that is fine. But we have some other applicants here who are falling asleep and trying to find the razors because they've been here so long. A motion to do something.
Need to make a motion to keep it? Table?
Yeah, I would do it. You're just keeping it on the agenda. When you table it, you keep it on the agenda. Joe, you had a question.
Yeah, I was just going to offer to the board that we ask the board to table this application until the August 2nd meeting to give us time to make sure the engineering comments are addressed.
I think would be reasonable.
Or to me, I have two items. I'm a list guy. So we got two items. We got resolution of the road issue, you know, arriving at an amount, and then addressing the SWIP concern. Those two issues.
Is it? There's a little confusion. The letter from LaBerge, and I want this is to help you folks out. There's a letter from LaBerge that discusses the SWIP. And then there's additional information that Ann brought up at the end. I've heard it both. You wanted to address LaBerge's letter, you wanted to address the SWIP. So that the applicant doesn't come back next time and say, we did X, but now you want us to do Y. Do you want them to address the entire letter?
My personal opinion is LaBerge is a consultant to the town to look at everything. And we should address all of his items and concerns. Not piecemeal anything.
Okay.
But yes, everything.
Okay. Just so you folks have that.
So then, in deference to that comment, this is how the letter reads, and it starts on page 4 or 5. Please note our review is focused solely on stormwater elements of the project, and as such, we did not review any elements pertaining to lot, road, infrastructure, lighting, water, or sanitary sewer systems. We recommend that the following additional technical reviews be completed, and that's to what you're speaking, and there is probably, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bulleted items on that page 4 or 5. It's in addition to the SWIP comments. And that's what you're speaking of.
Well, I think even if some of them are things that will come the next level.
Well, one of them is a road issue, for example, is encompassed.
Water district mapping and plan and all that, just address it with letters, it will be addressed.
And certainly we're not having any water and sewer reports provided.
Right, right. No, I'm not suggesting that.
Yeah.
But I just want the full breadth of the letter to be touched on by August.
Is that what
I make a motion to table their application until the August 2nd meeting.
Motion to make a favorable decision for moving on subdivision until such a time as the engineering comments and or other items are addressed to the satisfaction of the town. Your motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Jared? Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Much of the chagrin, I'm sure, of the applicant. If not, I don't really think that's too controversial. All those in favor, aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Abstention? Motion carried.
Okay, then I will amend the agenda for August 2nd and add this item at the end.
Go ahead, you don't need me up there to do that.
Oh, thank you, Peter. Adam, you're up. Now coming in for the bullpen.
Okay. I don't think you need me for this right now.
Yeah, this is going to be good. Thanks, straightforward.
Thank you. Travis Mitchell with Environmental Design Partnership here. Mike Cucciar from University of Falls Solar Project. I'm going to just go through this quickly. The first few slides a little bit about NextAmp. You've seen this before. NextAmp is a Massachusetts-based company working in New York for the last couple of years now. Several 22 large projects currently in construction. Built 150 megawatts of projects in New York State. I think one of the our firm is working with a number of solar developers now. One of the unique things about NextAmp is that they're one of the few companies that actually get the approvals, own, operate, maintain these projects long term. They don't get the approvals, build it and sell it, or get the approvals and sell it. They're going to be here for a long time to own and maintain it, which I think is important. We've talked about community solar and how it works. Basically, a big, large solar field, you give the community the ability to buy in a power discount on their electric bill. This particular project, again, these two slides I think you've all seen before. From this, if you've got any questions on any of them, just give a shout out. But this is a 2.5 megawatt AC solar project. I've mentioned before what's different than this with probably a lot that we've seen constructed is that the arrays run north-south, and so they're on a single axis tracker system, so they face east in the morning, and they slowly track the sun all day, west in the afternoon, and then they reset overnight. The total height when they're at their maximum tilt of these things is just under 18 feet. No battery storage proposed on this one. The area within the fence that I'll show you shortly is about 13 acres. I had shown here early on, it's been a couple months now, that the location of this in the industrial park is really well screened through natural screening from vegetation and topography. In solar, you've got minimal impact, clean green, energy. Obviously, one of the common questions that comes up is the decommissioning model, which you asked about. That's what we're to take a look at. But as far as any environmental impacts, they're pretty low. As you know, this is located in the very western portion of the Monroe Industrial Park. The industrial park is outlined here in red, the overall extended industrial park. This is occupies about 32 acres on the west side of the power transmission line that runs through the industrial park. It's obviously in the Angolan zoning up there. And here's that main power transmission corridor. Again, in red is the overall industrial park. And so these, it's actually got a couple of parcels here that make up this piece, but it's the chunk on the west side of the power transmission corridor. We provided a full detailed plan set. It's just one of the overall views, but this hasn't changed substantially since we first presented it. You'll recall there was some discussion about where to place the access road. We had originally talked about it here, and then we talked about maybe moving it up here, and now we're back to this original location just due to ownership of these parcels down in this area here. Basically, the ownership of this parcel here is
the decommissioning plan is going to work. Because only the town board can enter into it.
So, just a quick to recap the array remaining consistent. These are the two road access point options, and again, we moved from here to here where we can control the access. Some of the highlights
there's other communities that have already done it. I just don't know the procedure, the protocol.
Here, it gradually steps down 15 feet and then 12 feet as we get into the grid. The connection to the existing utility overhead line is here. So this would all be underground until we get to this point where we come above ground and connect to the existing overhead utility lines. There's a single, it's shown graphically here, but it's actually right here, a single equipment pad with an inverter transformer, if you're making the equipment for this thing, that takes the DC signal, converts it to AC, and sends it back out to the grid. It's all surrounded by a 7-foot high, shown in yellow here, perimeter fence. Far exceed zoning requirements for setbacks to the front side. As far as the approval process, we've been at this for several months now. We had preliminary site plan review back in April. NERSH signed off on their stormwater review of this in June. The last couple of meetings, the discussion has revolved around the decommissioning plan and the board's request for outside consultants to review that. Followed along from our last meeting, we got the escrow amount over to the town for the first to review above and beyond the stormwater, but to also review the decommissioning plan. You had asked us to do that. We did that. We also provided a copy of the National Grid crossing application, so we've got to cross the power utility lines, and that's a process with National Grid. Initiated that process and provided you with a copy of that as a quite a lengthy application. And you would also look for confirmation of the long-term lease agreement with the landowner, the Monroe Industrial Park LLC, which we gave you a copy of that as well. I had spoken with Jim today and I didn't have a follow-up yet. I didn't call back.
Yeah, I tried to get a hold. Travis was calling to see if we had any update from LaBerge on the status of the decommissioning plan review. And I shot an email off to LaBerge. I've not heard anything back as of yet. I checked my email before I came to the meeting this evening. So I don't have any update for you there. So that's the status of that review. This is kind of a you know, it's a strange duck. It's the first one through the mill here on a, you know, decommissioning plan. And I was just on a sidebar with Carla. That's going to be yet another thing that, my understanding is, the town board has to enter into that. So it's, again, it's that interface with the town board again on that, that, you know, we're kind of plowing new ground here. I've not done a, you know, a decommissioning plan for a solar project yet. So we're all kind of going through this procedure for the first time.
And ultimately, that's right. The agreement, the decommissioning plan agreement, the bond amount, it's all something that it's followed through the planning board, but it's something that the town board has to review and approve. And so I guess our ask would be the same as last month, that certainly we realize this is your first solar project, but we've done many now, and we've done many with LaVerge, and this is consistent with what we've done in the past. We're not asking for anything other than to schedule a public hearing to keep this moving. You don't need to do seeker, you don't need to do anything, just schedule a public hearing. Hopefully we'll get something back from LaVerge over this next month, and it allows us to keep moving forward. But this is, the third meeting in a row where nothing's changed. We're just trying to keep it moving forward.
Well, a couple things. First is that we will not hold it against NextNet because of the Massachusetts.
Oof.
What is the, you have any ideas what the buildable acreage are of that site?
The buildable acreage of, explain the question here.
The buildable acres of the lots that you're going to, obviously, if you've got an 80% slope, you have to build on, so that's not buildable.
Yeah, and I can estimate that pretty quickly, I think, based on what I'm looking at here. So I had mentioned you have about 32 acres of fencing area. So that's the perimeter. 13? I'm sorry. You said it's 32 acres overall. It's 32 acres overall, right? Okay. And it's, that's not gonna work. And it's, I see what's wrong.
Yeah,
shake my hand. It's 32 acres overall. It's 13 and a half or so of fenced area. And look at this, so I know what I'm looking at here. But that edge right there is about the top of the slope. And so you can see where we are. I'm going to guesstimate it here, but based on the 13 acres, probably it's less than 20. More than 15, less than 20 of buildable there.
But you're the lot in the park. That you're going to be using is more than the 32 acres?
No, so 32, this configuration here is the overall property that this sits on, and that's roughly 32 acres. Our fence area here is roughly 13 and a half. And so what I think you had asked about buildable acreage total here,
yes.
And I would estimate that it's somewhere between 15 and 20 without doing the exact calculation.
More questions?
I will defer to the applicant. You have a lot more experience with this situation than we do. Have you in the past had to request access over a national grid property to get to an installation?
Yes, we've done this on a couple of occasions, both with National Grid as well as Central Hudson. What we submitted to the board back in June was our application to National Grid to do such a right-of-way crossing. Typically, as long as we are not bringing lines overhead, it seems amenable to it. They will, you know, check every box and make sure we're doing things right, but we will be basically just proposing that gravel road and trenched medium voltage line underneath the crossing. So it's pretty straightforward, I believe, on their side, although nothing ever truly is. But we've done it before, yes.
So you've had success in getting a legal approval for them to use or to cross their properties.
Yes. These are often located near the high, you know.
Well, that's why I'm asking. Ideally, we had a couple of applicants in front of us that had to do that. They said, well, you know, I contacted them, I filled out the application, I haven't heard back in a year. You know,
they're bureaucracy under themselves. They are.
On a regular basis, so I wondered if you had any success in getting, as far as I knew, I haven't heard anybody who's ever gotten anything back from them. It's interesting to know that you can get that.
Yeah, we feel confident we can. We have a pretty good relationship. We have so many products in queue. We have a sort of dedicated project manager at National Grid. We keep in literally weekly contact with them. This is a separate office, but I think that keeps communication lines open and keeps things moving for us. So,
I mean, you can understand my concern. Basically, if you don't get that approval, then you don't have access to the site.
We wouldn't have a project then.
Yeah, we'd ask for it. Certainly, that approval would be a condition.
That would be something conditioned in the final. You would have to get that approval.
Yes. Otherwise, it doesn't go forward.
And it would have to be some kind of a deeded right away. Right? It's not something that they can say next year, gee, yeah, we change our mind.
It's an easement with a period of time, correct?
Yeah. Easement. Sometimes other utilities have done licenses as well, which we prefer an easement, but we can finance on both license or easement.
Is it common for, when you're doing one of these, is it common for there to be a bond for the end purpose?
Decommissioning?
Yeah.
Yes.
Decommissioning bond?
Yeah.
Is it something of all the projects that have come in front of me for years here, I've never seen any that has a decommissioning bond. Is that, is there a reason why that's the case?
I think because...
I can tell you why.
Sure.
It protects the town in the event that it never goes through, in the event that the panels stay there and the town needs to go and remove everything and do everything. It protects the town in the event that the company or whoever ends up owning those panels go out of business, go away. It protects the town. And it's something that NYSERDA absolutely says you have to have.
Well, I asked it last month, and I'm just asking again because in my memory I can't think of any other project we've done where we consider what's going to be, but I guess it's because this is a limited thing. It's a 25-year to 40-year.
Well, plus it's a highly specialized piece of equipment, and it's also a piece of equipment that's not the easiest to dispose of.
Okay. All right. So there are... All right. I won't ask the question again.
Yes, you will.
Because I do learn occasionally, and over a period of time, I figure some of this stuff out, so...
Jim, is my understanding that the Verge is not just looking at the technical aspects of the decommissioning plan, but they're looking at the site plan and equipment specifications.
Yes.
They can give us a full report back as to whether this is a responsible and good thing.
Yes.
Which we can't do ourselves. But you know, I'd say it's a good project. That's why, but we need that kind of technical review so we have that comfort level.
Sure.
If I would like to have that report before we schedule a public hearing, as I mentioned at the last meeting, or that we have sufficient to get it sufficiently in advance that we can review it. And if the report raises issues, we may need to table a public hearing.
What I'd ask again is if we can schedule it and hope we get it this month, you can always leave it open while you wait for it. But at least if we get it this month, it allows us to review it and move forward rather than just come back in the next month and ask you to schedule it. That's
is there any reason to believe that the bird won't be able to get us that in time?
I don't know. I know the request went out right after the last meeting, is all I can tell you. So they've had it. They have all the material that I've got in the file I've provided to them as of the day or two after the last meeting.
The reason I ask is I really am uncomfortable with scheduling a public hearing. I want to move into this. I just have become comfortable scheduling a public hearing if I'm pretty sure that we're going to have to table it. Because you put out the notification, you ask people to come. I doubt there's going to be a whole lot of controversy with this, but people come and then they find out we can't. Now, we can still, if we schedule a public hearing for next month, we can still go ahead with the public hearing and just can't close it until we have the engineering report, right?
Well, yeah, that's your option. You can just simply leave it open.
Exactly, yeah.
So, if we don't have it by then, keeping it open, we get to
but I think we can tell, we can probably tell the public next month if we get to that part, we can say, listen, what we don't have is we don't have this engineering report and we don't feel comfortable closing the public hearing until we do. I feel bad if people take time to come to one of these meetings and then, you know, they find out it's been postponed until next month. And then
I've had a couple of calls from one of the neighbors on this part.
Right. So.
Does the public have kind of a disadvantage if they come to it and they don't have the information?
Right.
That we need one. So maybe by August 2nd, we will know.
Again, I'm going to try and find out tomorrow.
I'm emailing them right now.
Would the public have that information before the meeting? In general? They would have access to it at the town?
Yeah, if we try and post things on the website, okay. You know, for the agenda. So any material we get regarding the agenda, it goes onto the website for viewing
okay.
Prior to the meeting.
I think it's unfortunately like a day or so.
Well, I think it would be, I mean, I think, I don't want to speak for Carla, she's right here, but I think we've been advised that we're not supposed to be posting stuff, you know, until we have the material. So if we have the public hearing and the material, if you schedule it and the material comes in 10 days prior, then it goes on the website, and if it doesn't, we really shouldn't have the public hearing.
Could we schedule it and then if we don't have it 10 days prior, not publicize it? That way, at least we've got some way to move forward without just coming back again.
Got to have a condition scheduling.
Kind of bizarre. I mean, you could schedule it at tonight's meeting and then at the August 2nd meeting.
Cancel it if you don't have it.
Yeah.
Or do a notification right after that. That gives us enough time to make the public hearing will be the 17th, not the 2nd.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. She said she can't. They would cancel it on the 2nd if they don't have it. Yeah. Right.
Or we wait until the 2nd, and on the 2nd, when, well, you
that
wouldn't have to come back, but when Joe is here, we could just put it on there and say, okay, we have it, now we'll schedule it for the 17th. It's the same. It's the same.
Either way, if we can see a path to get to the 17th, that would be great.
It should be an easy 2-minute issue on August 2nd. Now
we're just do it now and cancel it on the 2nd. It's even easier.
Let's see if we have a letter.
Okay.
So what are we deciding to schedule?
I think we're waiting for August 2nd.
We're waiting until August 2nd to schedule the public hearing for the regular meeting in August.
So what you could do is if you don't have it by like the 1st or whatever, we could shoot you folks an email and say, we don't have it yet, and then you wouldn't have to be here, you wouldn't have to do anything.
So can you remind me, Jim, how the notifications work, just to make sure, does the town handle them?
For site plan, we do. For subdivision, we do, and then you have to post a sign for subdivision. But for site plan, we do it all.
So there's no sign required, and so you do them all. So we'd be able to do them all 10 days.
Yeah, we have to publish to the newspaper, and then publish to and when send a notice to the neighbors within 500 feet.
We
need to fix that.
We
need to put that on that.
But it's almost as much of a pain to track it.
Now, Mr. Martin, can you speak on this?
We started, yeah, so we, maybe let me get to that slide. We
started
a coordinated review quite a few months ago now.
Yeah, I think it's long since closed.
Yeah, coordinated review was started here. Coordinated review on the 19th.
Okay.
So the 30-day time frame would have closed on essentially May 19th. But we're queued up ready for Seeker.
Board, anything further?
So I will let everybody know as soon as I hear either a date of receipt or actual receipt. Hopefully it's prior to August 2nd.
Okay.
So just for clarification, the only thing then that we would be expecting to do in a positive August 2nd would be to simply
schedule the public hearing.
Schedule a public hearing.
Yes, that's right. What I mean. It should be a 2-minute.
Okay. Well, I'll make we're trying not to wind up with 6 things on the other second agenda.
Well, <it's> just, we're already up to 5. And we have
two of them to the next meeting. So,
All right.
Thank you.
No, I would have told you. You said it all this time. I'm sorry, Dave.
I'm like,
no, that is August 2nd.
Oh, it is.
Yep. Okay. Yep. That's the one for August 2nd. I thought you knew that.
No. I didn't see the agenda on the website.
So it was on the bulletin board out there. Okay.
And then I got here on the wall.
Okay.
Hey,
Bill. Come on, Bill. Let's go. What's that?
I figured 10 o'clock.
Oh, sir.
Maya, are you up? We have AC subdivision comes from Solar Terry Professional. Here, we received sketch plan review a couple of months ago, and this is a portion of a. There's been two parcels. I'm taking off. And this is the third parcel. It's a 5-acre parcel on Route 32. It's one of the family, daughter of the family, Baker family, and she's planning to build a residential lot on Lot 2, 5-acre parcel.
This normally would qualify for a 2-lot subdivision, but they've already recently subdivided. If you recall, this is, I think, a 4 or 5 lot we did several months ago, and now they're coming in for it. So that kicks them out of the ability to do the administrative 2-lot. That's why you're doing it. Yes, it's proper lot size, proper road frontage.
Then I have a question for council.
Yes, sir.
Seeing as how we have recently reviewed this parcel of the 4-lot subdivision, and this is part of the lot that was under review for that, are we required to do seeker again on this lot?
You should do seeker.
We should. Okay.
Yes. This is a different project. Just because it's the same land, it's a different project.
Do you have a short form part 2? Do you have short form part 2? If you don't, I'll go get one. Correct.
Right. There's no other agencies.
Board, do you have any questions this afternoon?
So, I think I brought this up last month. I guess I'll bring it up again. If we're only looking at this as a 2-lot subdivision, why do we have 5 lots denoted on the map.
Well, we initially subdivided this into four lots. So if now we're only looking at the property owned by
lot
2 and 2A, okay, then why do we have all the rest of this on our site plan as if it's part of the site plan numbered in sequential terms?
Because
we redraw it.
Well, I thought I'd give you the whole scenario of what's going on the whole property.
So the whole four lot subdivision we did before, that's already gone through county, it's all cleared,
yeah.
All these properties are separated now.
Right.
Now we're dealing with just this one that's now denoted as lot 2 and 2A.
Right.
So we're taking what was lot 2 and we're turning it into lot 2 and 2A.
Yes. It's a 10 acre parcel and both of
yes.
them are.
Of course. Right. Of course. I'm just trying to figure out.
Yes.
To me, it should be lot 1 and lot 2. For this applicant, not lot 2.
Well,
two yet.
I put everything on to see what's happening. And maybe we should have just taken lot 2 and 2A.
So the access points for these two lots, are they both going to be on... They're not both going to be on 32, because one doesn't have much access to 32. One's going to be on Mount Road, one's going to be on 32?
Yeah.
The current owner of the lot that we're subdividing
into 2A? The current owner is George Baker, who has passed away. It's the father, and all these people have been the sons and daughters.
Okay, so now I'm confused again. Now I'm confused again. Right. So we have a four-lot subdivision of George Baker's property.
Yes.
Now we're having another subdivision of George Baker's property.
Separating the 10 acres. Right.
So explain to me why the Department of Health doesn't have to get contacted for a five-lot subdivision here when that's what we're basically doing if this is still all George Baker land.
Anything over 5 acres, you have to go to the health department. If anything over 5 lots that are under 5 acre parcel has to go to the health department.
Okay. All right. Well, see. Thank you. That's why I worded it. Explain to me why. Because I need to know. Okay.
Bill, on your seeker form, this on another one. On 14. Check urban. So, take that option.
What was that?
On your seeker form,
yes.
You checked urban for number 14.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No. Question 14?
Yep.
Okay. Now this runs on 32, and we need to go to county.
It's County Road 32, yes. Did it go to the county?
The state route. Yes, it did, I believe. Kathy sent it. And it's going to be subject to a highway access permit from the state for the driveway for lot 2.
Okay. Lord, have you got a question yourself? If not, what's your pleasure? What do you want to do to them?
I think that's what he's implying because he submitted both applications, although that's all I got. That's both here, plus a site plan review application, just in case you want to see that.
That position changed and just went to what he's done. That
many conversations I have with him about mapping.
The agenda for the regular meeting in August, is that jammed up yet?
No, we don't even have a submission date yet. So we haven't had our submission date yet. So it's, I don't know what's coming. I have a suspicion we're going to have some, I think we'll be seeing Hoffman's Car Wash come back in. And I think you're going to see the All Fresh want to advance as quickly as they can.
So we have the room for cases subdivisions to go public hearing. Is that we schedule it now that they're in?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You want to
make a motion? Yeah, I'll make a motion to schedule public hearing for the cases subdivision.
Motion's been made. Is there a second? Second.
I was understanding there was a public hearing scheduled for tonight.
No.
No.
You're trying to confuse me, Bill. No, we don't have anything for public hearing for this evening.
Right. Okay. We couldn't last night.
No. So, to the motion, it's such a controversial. To schedule a public hearing for the Casey subdivision for the third Monday in August, is all good. To the motion, we have a second. Any further discussion? If not, that's a controversial. Those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you all. Board, any other questions to Mr. Burke? Or Bill, any questions at all?
Might I ask a question?
Well, you can always ask a question.
So we have the name for the record?
name
for the record?
Karen Woods.
Karen Woods, okay.
I live adjacent. It's shown incorrectly on this map as Mabel Baker. I own the property and I've never been contacted. I didn't know that I now live next to a subdivision. I was wondering if there's somewhere I could see a DEC evaluation, a topological map of the area, and any assessments that were done in a land use plan for these multiple lots next door. I tried to go on the website. It's very difficult to read the document that's posted with the map. It's skewed, and I can't tell what's a yes and a no. In many of the areas, and it seems though there's some items there that have not been addressed. I don't know if those were previously posted with the division of the property into multiple lots.
That would all be filed. That would be filed in the county. The four lot subdivision's already been done and filed in the county. That's where you would get it.
And when was that done?
That was a while ago, wasn't it? Yeah, about a year ago.
I've owned the property longer than this, so I'm surprised that I have not contacted for any of this.
We don't have any proof, but what she's saying is that the property next door is listed under names other than her.
The property listed to the north?
It's the previous owner.
The north on Route 32?
How long did you own the property?
October of 2019.
Yeah, that might have not caught up.
It may not have gone through by
especially during COVID, it probably...
Yeah.
I think 19 was pre-COVID, so...
Well, I know that, but I'm saying the county records delay 5 and 6 months, so that came up right in the middle of COVID.
You should be notified for this public hearing.
Yes.
It should be there already.
We didn't have it. It hasn't happened. No notices have gone out yet.
But you should contact the county to make sure that they're taking care of that. And you are listed as the owner on their records. By now, you should be.
By now.
They know I'm there.
They didn't miss that part.
They know I'm there.
This map needs to be corrected as well. I don't see her on.
Right, it shows Jill Baker, and she's the previous one. It's Jackie Fairwoods.
We do all of our deed research in the. You can't go to the county clerk's anymore. You do everything on the computer, and I believe it's still listed as Abel Baker.
It is not.
Check with the county, though, make sure that it's not.
Okay. The notices are sent out based on the county records and who pays the taxes and who the listed owner. If you live there, somebody else owns, they will get the notice, you will not.
I do own the
property. My point is, at the time we did the four lot subdivision, I don't think the transfer had been properly recorded at the county, so your name was not listed.
Right.
It's like a 6 or 7 month lag. If you want to come in and see me tomorrow, we can look together.
I'm looking right now.
Question about our board.
Is that an image mate?
They are.
With these broken up meetings, it just came to me as we're planning a public hearing for some of the things that were done tonight. If next, on August 2nd, we have certain things that need to be moved to the next meeting, are we going to have time for notification to do that?
Just barely.
So we could actually have an applicant on August 2nd that we could move things ahead into August 16th?
Yes, have 10 days.
We have 10 days.
Okay. We'd have to do it very next day, but it could be done.
Because if not, then it would behoove you to look and see, as we're dividing these up, who needs that time period. But if there's enough time, then we're good.
We will just have enough.
Okay. Because in that case, if we were splitting, we want to split the early meetings, would be those that need not notification.
Right.
Okay.
I would make a motion to adjourn.
I had right down to 7, and the 8th person showed up.
Like a rain. I'm right back. The carrier of my truck gets so.
You didn't pay.
I wrote it in twice, and then I told my friend to take the skateboard or where he drove me, and it was Boston. Going into Boston at 80 miles an hour, and it's just so insane.
Why do you do that going out?
I wasn't sure I was ever going to get old. I felt pretty old when we got there. That was my friend Sid, who then took me out to a comedy club. And then spent all of his money at the comedy club. He was going to get a taxi ride home. We had to find an ATM.
See you in 2 weeks.